This is Game Time AM. Now, back to Brad Lee and Jeff Jones from St. Louis Game Time on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Awesome. This is Game Time AM. I am Brad Lee. That's Jeff Jones over there, Matt Davis pushing the buttons. And on the musical interlude, Jeremy Boyer of the St. Louis Blues, giving us some organ music this morning from the organ at Scott Trade Center.
It is so hard for me not to say that I'm grateful for Jeremy's organ every time he plays us back.
Yeah, we're grateful for his organ, absolutely. He'll be firing that thing up tonight. Oh, the hot take
there
horn.
It is.
There we go.
Maybe the hot take horn needs to be like the bad pun horn.
It could be one of the same.
Yeah, you can both. Just whatever it needs it's going to be.
get it fired up for Pat.
If something needs to be pointed out, it's going to fire.
Yeah, Pat Iverson is the king of bad puns. So.
He is. So Jeremy will be firing up the organ tonight. It's got Trade Center. The Oilers are in town. It's just after 6 o'clock here, St. Louis time. We know people are kind of starting to wake up and get moving in their day and maybe just turning the radio on. If you miss the first hour... We'll have it live. We'll have it on Inside STL here in a few minutes, and then we'll have the second hour, just after 7 o'clock. So you can subscribe via iTunes. You can go to the audio page and on Inside STL, we put the links out on Twitter and on Facebook and on our website, stlouisgametime.com. We had a Twitter guy, Joseph Cowsert, say, "I think Armstrong." I don't think I can read that word.
Let's call it Kirked the bed.
Yeah, Shattenkirked the bed. He got pretty much the same return as the trade for Hanzel with Arizona.
So hot right now.
For a far better player. So what he's saying, when Arizona, the return for Arizona was the same as the Blues got, and the Blues were trading a much better player, so he didn't do well.
Okay, but here's the thing. I saw this comparison a bunch last night, and it is not a fair comparison, and this is... Of the many soapboxes I'm hopping from today, this is one of them. The thing with the Hanzel trade is that, number one, the Coyotes also included Ryan White, who was a valuable fourth-line player. For example, it would be as though the Blues threw in Brodziak to the Shattenkirk deal. And they also gave up their own fourth-round pick. And they also retained 50% on Hanzel and not 39%. Granted, that is probably a fairly fine hair to split, but it was not Hanzel straight up. Right, there was another player involved as well as an additional pick going back. So those are not entirely fair comparisons. And
so Hanzel plus White equals Shattenkirk.
I don't think because number one, there's that other pick, but also the other consideration is that the Wild may believe they have a chance to re-sign Hanzel. Right, Hanzel may not be a pure rental. He could be a guy who the Wild could sign.
So their
long
needs
term.
Kind of outweigh
right.
the.
Right. Whereas I think the Capitals have almost no chance of re-signing Shattenkirk to a long term deal.
I will say that I think Hanzel in Minnesota, that big body guy up there, he's probably going to fit in pretty well, and it's probably going to work out pretty good.
We talked about
Wild.
This yesterday morning. But he has a huge benefit for them because he allows Eric Halla to be on the wing and Charlie Coyle as well to be on the wing, where they're far more effective.
So if you miss the first hour, we'll have the audio up here in a few minutes. We're going to break about 5 minutes. Matt Davis says hand signals across the board, but we're going to break down the trade more. So our first guest this morning is Pat Iverson. He is a NHL writer for SB Nation, and if you've been to the Game Time website, you've seen the SB Nation network of pages. They've got a page for pretty much every sport you could think of. We have been on the hockey network since December 2008. I mean, that just predates about almost everything. It's kind of crazy. So Matt, did you say Patrick is on the line?
Yes, I have a Patrick on the line.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
What's up, guys?
Thanks for joining us this morning. Obviously, the number one topic here in St. Louis is trade of number 22, Kevin Shattenkirk. So going to the Washington Capitals for a pick, a prospect, and a conditional pick in 2 years when Doug Armstrong might not even be the general manager. What was your reaction last night when you saw the news of the trade?
I'm going to be honest. Honestly, for Shattenkirk, with him being gone at the end of the year, and getting Stanford, who with a rookie and with his kind of play, I actually, believe it or not, could see him peaking at second line center. But and I've got to see him a handful of times, not just in Hershey, but also in Boston College. And I this is just my perspective, could see Stanford almost kind of like the same kind of role as Steen is now in a couple of years.
So if you, if you see Zach Stanford as a guy who can develop into an Alex Steen type of player, do you think then that, I mean, do you think there were better deals out floating around for Shattenkirk? Because I think some of the question is, why would you make the deal last night instead of stretching it out till Wednesday? So if Stanford is a guy who has that kind of potential, do you think that he's good enough to justify making the move early?
Personally, I mean, I honestly pull the trigger this early, I'm not sure. I mean, of course, we're all questioning this, like, why wasn't this kind of thing done back in June, you know, with the draft and all that, and the amount of guys that are out there. But, you know, I guess for right now, I'm getting, you know, like, I guess what was on the table, a prospect, a draft pick, and, as you guys said, something else. And damn, that other draft pick is definitely something else. I guess if that's what Armstrong was happy with, yeah. I don't know. He must have some sort of obsession with third line centers, or maybe third line forwards in general.
He's been accused of having a size fetish of by some folks here in St. Louis. Our buddy James Lambert, who's a pro poker player and pro blues fan, was pretty hot on the Twitter tweets last night talking about the Armstrong size fetish. You've seen Stanford kind of play some games in the AHL. You've seen him kind of play out on the East Coast. Aside from Alex Steen, do you think that there's who's a player in the NHL who you think his current game compares to?
Current game? Honestly, and I'm just going by because of what I've seen here out in Massachusetts and all that. So, I mean, I guess with living in Massachusetts, I guess similar, but to like a David Krejci or honestly or something like that out in the Boston area. So,
all right.
But like I said, it's just because of where I'm at. So,
Patrick, so you're out in Massachusetts. This is Patrick Lyons, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're watching some AHL stuff out there. So I'm curious. Are you a goalie kind of guy that you pay attention to goalies? I think we talked about on Twitter before.
With the amount of stuff going on around here, I've paid attention to every aspect for the American League. So
do you have you seen Phoenix Copley much?
No, actually, okay. I have not.
All right, terrific. Yeah. Well, so do you think, I don't know, what do you think the job that Doug Armstrong has done here? Do you think he's going to be around here long term, or are you frustrated with him as some of the other people around here?
I'm surprised with some of the moves he's made and some of the contracts he's thrown to guys who could say don't really deserve them or have kind of bottomed out at this point. I mean, if I recall right, didn't Armstrong leave us as a transition year anyway?
That's what he said, but, you know, I think they said that finally when they let Ken Hitchcock go. They didn't really announce that until they admit to that. Until that point of the season. Mm-hmm. Hey, Patrick, we appreciate you calling in. Thanks for listening all the way from Massachusetts. That's awesome.
Yep.
So let's see. It's about a quarter after here in St. Louis. 5-9 the fans, KFNS. You're listening to Game Time AM. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. I'm pointing to my right. And then across the table is Matt. We're going to be joined by Patrick Iverson here in a minute from SB Nation.
There are too many Patricks hanging around this morning.
I think
morning.
We got confused about the name Patrick on the phone. So, but thank you, Patrick, from Massachusetts, listening from that far away and calling in. We do appreciate that. So we'll be joined by SB Nation NHL writer here in just a minute. So is there, I don't know, is there anything else going into this game tonight against Edmonton that we should really talk about before we get to Pat? Is there, you know, are we going to see a deflated team tonight, do you think, where they kind of come out and lay down a little bit and are a little bit demoralized now that they're missing the power play quarterback and the main outlet guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond. I'm waiting a little bit to see if there are roster moves today. If there are not, then I'm a little wary about, well, I guess I'm wary anyway, right? Because the best case scenario, we're talking about a Schmaltz or maybe even a Dunn being part of the recall.
I think Vince Dunn would be an interesting
Vince
look.
Dunn, you know, and I know Cam was talking about this last night or maybe earlier this, maybe even, yeah, it would have been yesterday because somehow today's only Tuesday. Yesterday, Cam was talking about how he would reward Vince Dunn with a call up just for delivering the big straight right hand. I don't know if that's how I would run my team necessarily, but Cam knows more than I do, and you know maybe Dunn's part of it.
All right, now we're joined by Pat Iverson from SB Nation. Pat, good morning, sir.
Hello, real Pat.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I am not fake news.
That's okay. It's really early. The sun is not out yet.
We thought we'd really had a handle on it, right? We had all the news last night. Brad's hasn't slept, and I've got my coffee going, and we were clicking, and then all of a sudden we're going, this isn't the right pad, is it?
But that's okay.
It was a real out of body experience. I'm like, wait a second.
I'm not on the phone.
Like 20 minutes from now.
That's awesome. But, you know, a listener from Massachusetts for a hockey show in St. Louis is, that's pretty cool. All right, so, Pat, what was your reaction to the Kevin Shattenkirk trade last night?
A little bit of surprise, honestly. You know, we had seen some reports earlier in the day that the Penguins and Capitals were in a bidding war, which seemed a little out of left field because, you know, we've had so much time over the last few months to speculate where Shattenkirk could have gone. And the last two, I mean, the Penguins and Capitals were never on anyone's radar. So when it actually came to fruition, one, it was a complete shock because what a move. What a put all your chips in the middle of the table, shot across the bow to the rest of your division move to the Capitals. I loved it. I'm going to write about this morning. I love seeing all these top teams in both conferences just swinging for the fences and getting the best players available for a run. Even if Shattenkirk is just a pure rental, I think it's a great message to send to the rest of the Capitals that, hey, you know what, we're going to swing for the fences this year and go for it.
I think it might illustrate that there really isn't an odds-on favorite for the Stanley Cup this year. Well, there are so many teams in contention that you really do need to make a move to keep up with the Joneses.
And
right?
I also wonder, too, and Pat, I'm sure you would have some thoughts on this, how much of Washington's interest in Shattenkirk is also in keeping him away from Pittsburgh and the Rangers for the remainder of the season?
I think it absolutely is. You look at the Eastern Conference right now, the Atlantic is kind of a mess trying to sort itself out, and the strongest teams are in the Metro. And if, I mean, you never know who called in first on Shattenkirk, the Capitals or the Penguins. But if he's available, and you know that the price for him is going to be lower than what his true trade value is, because he is a rental player, then you have to go out and get him and make sure that nobody else in your division is going to go out and get him, especially since there seems to be only three or four strong teams in the East this year. So, I think that's played a huge part in it, that the Capitals sense an opportunity, like the Wild sense an opportunity in the weaker West, to go out and get an impact player who can really affect the dynamic of their team, and they pay that price for it, and I think it's really going to pay off, because that, you could really sense that power play is going to carve people up in the playoffs.
Yeah. You are listening to 590 The Fan in St. Louis, 105 HD2 FM at InsideSDL.com. We have Pat Iverson from SB Nation here. Pat, I think that there is some frustration in St. Louis because you hear the relatively well-sourced rumors that there was a deal on the table for Taylor Hall. There was a lot of conversation around Jonathan Drouin.
In the summer, right.
Over the past year. And the Blues end up with Zach Sanford. So when you look at Sanford, is that a guy who you perceive as a potential NHL impact player, or is this more of a lotto ticket that does not necessarily have a lot of upside?
You already made him laugh, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't follow Capitals prospects too closely, but I do trust TJ Oshie's instincts, and he was being interviewed yesterday and talked about him like he was the head of amateur scouting. That he was that Sanford is a guy who can play well at both blue lines, big, you know, soft hands, good in the room, gritty player. He's not a Jonathan Drouin. He's not a Taylor Hall. but he could be an impact player down the line. And I think that it's a tough pill to swallow that you just traded one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League for a player who's not an elite type. But it's such a victim of circumstances moment right now because of the expansion draft looming, the fact that Shattenkirk is a free agent at the end of the year, and the fact that he pretty much indicated, if you want to trust reports, that he's going to be very stingy with what kind of deal he wants and where he wants to go, and he wants to hit free agency. So as soon as that was the case, you kind of had to settle yourself for realizing that you're not going to get an elite player.
Yeah,
but fans, the thing is, if Stanford turns into a top six or a depth player or a guy who can contribute, then you know there's something to be said for those kind of players.
Yeah, the reporting around this trade has sort of been really fascinating to me because you've had the slow drip over the last week, right? You've had the leaks come out that says that Shattenkirk has rejected some silent trades and that listed Arizona, Edmonton, Tampa. Then you had the reports from Bob McKenzie and Elliot Friedman maybe two or three nights ago that Shattenkirk is trying to pick his spot and that it's going to be, or that he wanted it to be the Rangers. And then you had yesterday morning Brian Lawton kind of out of nowhere at 11 o'clock in the morning yesterday morning reporting that it was going to be Pittsburgh or Washington. And in fact, even before Lawton yesterday, the Chicago Wolves randomly recalled an ECHL defenseman at like 9 o'clock in the morning yesterday, right? I mean, so do you think that this has been developing obviously over a couple of days? And how do you view, I guess, in the broader context of the trade deadline, how do you view this very steady trickle of rumors and how we should like evaluate what news looks like?
I think it's always tough when you're just reading reports from people. I think you can generally trust Friedman and McKenzie's reporting. But the thing is, all these reports seem pretty, if you take them in a chronological sense, it kind of makes sense if you want to believe them, because you could see the Blues coming to terms with the Oilers or coming to terms with the Lightning on a deal. So what's the next step? Well, those two teams aren't going to pull the trigger on a deal unless they can get assurances from Shattenkirk's camp that he's going to sign there long term. So what are the next reports? That, you know, they talked, they couldn't come to agreement to a deal, and at that point, Doug Armstrong can't really do anything because that team's going to step away from the table. And Shattenkirk, you know, I made a mistake like earlier last week saying that he was nixing the trades, which isn't entirely accurate because he might have been open to going there, but they just couldn't. It's like working out a free agency deal in the middle of the trade deadline. You know,
it's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, so chronologically, these things make sense, that it would go from agree to deal, couldn't come to a contract agreement, team steps away, St. Louis is left with one choice, which is to approach other teams like he's a rental player, which knocks down his value. So yeah. These make some sense.
Hey, people in St. Louis kind of said, well, he's technically got a no-trade clause then, because if he doesn't want to sign, if he doesn't agree to the extension, then they don't make the trade, he's nixed the trade. And it's a de facto no-trade clause. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
And that's you know, you don't really see that often at the trade deadline in recent years. I'm sure it's happened behind the scenes a few times, but not as well publicized as this is.
But then Kevin Shattenkirk wakes up in Washington this morning, so clearly he didn't have, you know, that much control over it. Or wakes up maybe here on the way to, I don't know. Look, he gets to go to New York. He does get to go to New York because the Capitals are in New York. And you can fly direct to New York from St. Louis. It's like one of the six places you can do that to.
You got to feel bad for those Rangers fans today watching Shattenkirk play against them.
Yeah, like, I saw someone suggest on Twitter last night. I don't remember if it was you. I'm not sure it was, but somebody said that it might have been Craig Constance. I don't remember. There was a lot of people I was following last night that said that the Rangers fans should cheer like crazy every time Shattenkirk touches the puck tonight just to troll the Capitals that much harder. Make him feel like he's at home. All right.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. He's probably going to be there in a few months anyway. So
yeah.
Like a little peek today.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Pat Iverson with SB Nation, NHL writer. Pat, let's play lightning round. I'm going to throw out some names and give me some gut reaction. Is he going to be traded, and where do you think there might be a good fit? So I'll try to keep it. We'll try to keep it to the big names that have been talked about. So Maybe we'll throw a curveball right every once in a while. So let's start with Marc-Andre Fleury. Does he get traded, and where do you think he might go?
No, I don't think he gets traded because I get the sense that Jim Rutherford likes the idea that of goalie depth in the playoffs, just in case something happens or just in case Murray hits the downstretch. However, if he does get moved, it's probably to Calgary because
the Brian Elliott experiment has failed?
Yes, and because the Kings just moved for Ben Bishop, putting some pressure on Calgary in the wild card race.
Absolutely.
But
okay, how about Shane Doan? Shane Doan, does he get traded, and maybe where?
No, I don't think he gets traded because I don't think there's any interest in him. Same with Drew McGinley.
Oh, that was my next name. Now, I saw the video of him during the intermission the other night where he was just on like a slow boil where his face started turning red, and it was just after the Hanzel trade. And, you know, you could see where he's like, you know, we go through this every year. We get to this point and we have to trade. And you saw the frustration. So I think he's open to being traded, but you say no one's really going to think he's worthwhile, even as a locker room guy that they talk about?
I guess possibly. I guess part of it is just that it would be tough for me to consider Doan in any other uniform. I just look at him and Ginla and I say, I don't know what teams think that they're going to get. I mean, maybe if you send a really late round pick for him, for both of them are on pace for maybe 22 points this year. Both are in their late 30s. I just don't know what kind of interest there is. However, if he does ask for a trade, I think John Chayka will grant that wish and try to get something for him. But I just wonder how much interest there is.
So the next name is actually two names. Matt Duchene, Gabriel Landeskog. What did the Avalanche do there?
I think they wait until the summer. I don't know. I just think that if they wait until the summer, they have more time to negotiate. They have more time to see teams. Will be able to know what their teams look like after the expansion draft. I think he's more of a draft time trade than anything.
That's not bad. You know, I think the expansion draft does put a wrinkle, throw a monkey wrench, whatever cliche you want to throw in there, into some of these negotiations.
Yeah, it's such a headache this year, and I wonder if that's why conditional picks now look like the script to Inception.
Well, and do you think too that part of the reason the expansion draft is a problem is if you're a team that trades for a guy like Landeskog, for example, you do it obviously as a long term asset, so you're risking basically giving up an additional player functionally in that trade, right? Because you're exposing a guy who you might otherwise be protecting.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, every single team probably already knows which players they're going to protect. And if you go out and get a player with long-term contracts still on the book, then you have to go back to your board and reevaluate what you have lined up to get up. So I think as soon as those dominoes fall and Vegas has its players, I think that's when teams will be like, okay, this is who we have left. Is who we can go out and get, and I think trades will start to pick up then.
Do you think we're going to be in for a boring or interesting trade deadline day on Wednesday?
I think boring, but
that's okay.
I don't know.
It can be boring. I mean, it's out of your control. Yeah. It's out of our control. We'd like it to be fast and furious.
Here's the follow-up question. What's more interesting, a day full of trades or a day where you have to watch poor James Duffy try to fill 7 hours of airtime where there are no trades happening?
I was just about to say that like the most interesting part of this might be just the pain on Duffy and McKenzie's faces, which, you know, poor Duffy. I mean, he tweeted last night just uncle, and then he probably went home and poured a stiff drink and just sat in the chair and just worried about what's gonna happen. And the thing is though, the rental market is so hot right now because of the expansion draft that we might be seeing a lot of, you know, the typical norm is 20-ish trades on trade deadline day, and I think that could still happen with rentals. So, I don't know, it's been very interesting so far. Hansel going to the Wild, nobody had that. Shattenkirk going to the Capitals, nobody had that. Jordy Benn, bless his heart and his beard, is off to Montreal, nobody had that. So, it could be very interesting. However, if it's not, at least we get to enjoy just TSN and Sportsnet trying to talk about golf or something.
Yeah, the other upside for you from a comedy perspective is that Sportsnet's going to have Ilya Brizgalov this year. So if they have to fill time, like 3 hours of Briz's thoughts on the universe would actually make for a fantastic deadline day.
Well, and you know,
maybe they could just run an episode of Cosmos and have him narrate it. You know,
oh, what an improvement!
The universe is so huge.
Humongous big.
That's right. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I flubbed the line. I apologize. I think it has been fun over the years watching that, though, because then you see the studio, and they've got like three different desks in the studio, and they like the camera whips around, and you can see like one desk in the background, and every guy is on their phone just typing away.
I would love to watch like a TV journalism professor watch that broadcast because you see eight guys on camera on their phones. Like they'll cut to Bob McKenzie, and he's buried in his BlackBerry, not even looking at the camera. Like talking about things.
I would love to get one of those Twitter data scientist people and just like have them chart, you know, when in the background Dreger picks up his phone and when Twitter spikes, you know, see if there's a big correlation there.
And it's so Canadian because they all have BlackBerries still.
Yeah.
They do. It's amazing. It is, even if nothing happens, it is fantastic television just because as soon as they pick up a phone, it might be like them, you know, ordering dinner or something, but like Twitter goes nuts. It's going to be a fun day regardless, even if nothing happens.
No, I've got a couple. I have a couple memories of watching. So I've joked before that I'm cool enough to be half Canadian because I've either called in sick or taken a vacation day for trade deadline for years now. Yeah. There was the year that the networks discovered the internet, like when they had Eklund on a desk, and it was like he had his back turned to the camera, and it was kind of his shadow, and he would, you know, he'd spit out all these fake rumors that, you know, these fantastic trades that give the rating.
The guy's got a press pass. Like his name is Dwayne. What are we talking about?
He's a drummer, right? So yeah. I just think it was funny when they that was the year they discovered the internet, and they're like, we need a guy from the internet on the TV to talk about rumors.
It's such an interesting day that like I went to college at Mizzou, and it always happened for every year I was at Mizzou that the trade deadline would coincide with spring break when I drove home. So for the entire 12-hour drive, I'd be listening to, like, I don't know, Winnipeg radio or something like that, just listening to them. And every single news break, I would, like, have to pull over and be like, okay, what's going on? Like, something important. And it's like, oh, we just traded, Nathan Horton dead contract. I'm like, okay, well, now I have to get back on the highway.
Yeah, the Horton for Clarkson deal was a real barn burner, and that one went down.
That was actually pretty amazing, now that I think
In retrospect. So, Pat, we actually, Brad and I are in here talking, kind of looking at each other. We didn't realize that you were a true son, that you went to Mizzou. I guess you went to the J school, right?
Yeah, I did. For 4 years there. Didn't graduate because I spent too much time, you know, blogging and stuff, but came back here, finished up at UNT. But yeah, I grew up pretty big affection for Missouri, honestly. My family's from there too, so it's a little bit like a second home to me.
Yeah, I know you're primarily a Stars fan. I mean, did you catch a lot of Blues games and a lot of exposure to that when you were up here,
I've been to Scott Trade a couple times. Both for Stars games, and I really like it a lot. It's got an old-time hockey feeling. The fans were always nice to me. Of course, that was back when the Stars weren't as good as they were now.
We're still Midwesterners at heart, so that hasn't changed.
We're all part of the same place.
So I think it's interesting because when we were talking about Marc-Andre Fleury, you mentioned Calgary. Is that just wish fulfillment on your part, right? Like, are you not even trying to think about the possibility of him ending up in Dallas? Are you just like putting it out of your brain? Or
no, I think I'm just resigned to the fact that Kari Lehtinen and Anthony Ambie are going to be our goalies for the rest of eternity and
forever. Okay. Goalies and also, for life.
I'm trying to ignore the fact that we traded Jack Campbell and now he's having a terrific year with the Kings AHL affiliate. So, I don't know. The Stars are a bit of a mess right now. I think that anything that they do is going to happen in the off season. I don't know what they're going to do. I'd like to see them sign Carl Ulster. I'd like to see them go after Ben Bishop, but I don't know. At least Jim Neal is making some moves to try and extricate himself from this mess. Even if it costs us, you know, the elder Ben brother.
Yeah, it happens. Well, this is Game Time AM. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. Matt pushing the buttons. We're listening to Pat Iverson live from Texas, SB Nation NHL writer. I don't know. Give me, we got like maybe one more minute left. You got any, off the wall predictions or a gut feeling, gut call, anything that we haven't talked about as far as deadline day?
Trade deadline. Let me think. I don't know. It's tough because the two big names are already off the board, so I don't know what else could happen. I think it'll be interesting though because even the fact that the two big teams in each conference, the Wild and the Capitals, are going for it, it makes you wonder if their direct competitors are going to swing for a bigger move because the Blue Jackets haven't done anything yet. I know. John Davis said the other day that they're going to be patient, but I don't know if they can afford to do that right now anymore. So I don't know who they could swing for. It's going to have to be a rental. But yeah, I think I don't necessarily have a big prediction on my mind, but if I did, I guess my big prediction is I think that there are still some bigger moves left to happen. And they're going to come out of nowhere and they're going to surprise us and they're going to burn down hockey Twitter all over again.
Is there one big trade deadline pun that you're dying to use? And can we preview it here?
Ooh, that's good.
Well, I've already used Kings take Bishop like 10 times. So I don't know.
Do you have Shattenkirk puns that we can say on the radio?
No. I don't know. It's tough. I can't do these on command.
Dance, monkey.
My brain is mush. These things just leak out, and I can't control it.
The muse has you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll tag you guys in my next pun today.
Awesome. That'd be perfect. All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling in and chatting with us for a few minutes. We'll have to do this again. This was a good conversation. So we appreciate you being up this early and dialing us up here in St. Louis. Pat Iverson.
Thanks.
From
thanks, second Pat.
Second Pat. Right. The second Pat. Pat and repat.
Thanks guys.
All right.
Thank you.
So that was Pat Iverson from SB Nation, NHL writer. We are going to be joined in a couple minutes with
Isabel Kardashian, who is the Capitals beat writer for the Washington Post.
Yeah, we're going to go all legit journalism here at the end of the show. So
the good news is it's very unlikely that there will be an additional Isabel or an additional Kardashian who will call in to confuse us.
Probably not. Do we have another caller on the line there, Matt? Hockey Bob is on. Hockey Bob. You've got like 2 minutes, jump in and tell us how you feel about the Shattenkirk situation, and then we're going to have to jump out. So what do you think, Hockey Bob?
I came to grips with the fact that Shattenkirk wasn't going to be a Blue about a month and a half ago, so I'm not, I already knew that he wasn't going to be a Blue. But, you know, all this rhetoric about how he helps the Washington Capitals. Well, point of fact, Stanley Cups are won on defense. The Washington Capitals now have the weakest defense of all the top six teams in the NHL. If you look at goaltending of all those six teams, including Carey Price, Bobrovsky,
Braden Holtby is the best goalie in the NHL.
Goaltending. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Washington won't get past the second round. Shattenkirk's value will go down. He will not get the money he wants. He will end up going to arbitration because he's not going to get the money in the years that he's
going
for.
To UFA. There's no such thing as arbitration.
Well, what happens if nobody signs him? Then there's arbitration, right? Then he just
retires. But like it is. It is asinine to suggest that no one's going to sign Kevin Shattenkirk in the offseason, right? Like, I get that there are flaws in his game. He is going to make a whole lot of money. I get that the Capitals have flaws in the back end, and I get that Kevin Shattenkirk does not help them defensively. But with Niskanen and Carlson and Orpik and Alzner, as well as the best goalie in the NHL, the Capitals are well set up. Look, can the Capitals lose in the second round? Yes, because they have to get through Pittsburgh to get through the second round. That is absolutely very possible.
You think Braden Holtby is the best goalie in the world? Is that what you just said?
I think Braden Holtby is one of the top three goalies in the NHL for sure. He is the defending Vezina Trophy. He is the defending Vezina Trophy winner. Bob, like, I just saw the trophy in Toronto. It's got a big plaque that says Braden Holtby, Washington Capitals. No, granted, it also has a plaque that says Jim Carrey, Washington Capitals on it. But Braden Holtby is a very good goaltender. He is.
Bob, I'm curious.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I disagree, but because he hasn't taken the Capitals anywhere, you know, in great goaltending about winning a series. When has he ever won a series? well, playoff series? When has he ever stolen the series?
That's a fair point. I'm curious though, Bob. What do you think about the Blues situation now without Kevin Shattenkirk?
Well, you know,
do you think they're going to be able to push for the playoffs?
I hope so. I mean, whatever happens, happens. Brad, I don't get emotional about these sports anymore. I watch it for 100% pure entertainment purposes. If the Blues are not playing well, you know what I do? I watch the Big Bang Theory because I don't like to be disappointed. You know, so my take on this is a lot different from most Blues fans. I love hockey.
That's true, because you watch the Big Bang Theory to avoid disappointment. I think that's usually a generator.
Well, maybe so. Maybe that's it. I just don't like
That's usually a generator of disappointment.
I just don't like to be unhappy.
I can understand that. All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, Hockey Bob. We appreciate it.
All
thanks
right,
for listening.
You're welcome. Take care.
Braden Holtby is 31-8-5 with a 197 goals against, a .928 save percentage, and 7 shutouts, and he's going to win the Vezina again this year.
Probably. So, yeah.
Scrubs.
So, we're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, KFNS in St. Louis, 105.7 HD2, and live on InsideSDL.com. The first hour is up. If you're just waking up and getting moving, you can subscribe via iTunes. The audio is live on Inside SCL right now. If you go under the radio show tab, pull up Game Time AM, the first segment, the 5 o'clock hour is still there. Do we have some text coming in that might be aimed at Hockey Bob?
We do. Jeff? We have one from Stubby Applause, and granted, I'm not sure. This is one that I cannot probably read on the air, but Stubby Applause, I wanted to tell you that your text made me laugh hard.
Can you paraphrase?
No.
Oh, man. Come
Look,
on.
I will scoot over and I will show it to you.
Okay. I will show it to you.
There was one also.
Oh, my. Yeah, we're not going to read that one. Sorry.
There was also one from the Fenton Fur Trapper.
If we had a suspension logule, if we get a suspension logule, that would probably have made the vial.
However, if we got a sponsor for Text of the Day, it also would have won that prize. Yeah. There was a text also from the Fenton Fur Trapper that said, "Hope you're drinking a nice big glass of bleach with your breakfast, Hockey Bob." So,
I think we are ready for our next guest. Jeff, you want to take it away?
Yeah, we have Isabel Kershidian. She is the Capitals beat writer for the Washington Post, and she got to celebrate her birthday yesterday in New York City, breaking down a trade. Looked like a sitting in a restaurant in Manhattan. So, Isabel, happy birthday, and thank you so much for getting on with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was an interesting night, to say the least.
I believe it. So the deal came together yesterday. It looked like it maybe started coming together earlier in the day. We talked about the Blues AHL affiliate sort of randomly recalled a defenseman from the ECHL early in the morning, and then Brian Lawton had some tweets sort of mid-morning about the Capitals and Penguins. When did you start hearing news about maybe Shattenkirk moving to Washington, and how quickly did the deal seem to come together?
Yeah, well, you know, there had been rumblings even over the weekend from Bruce Kiriak at the Ottawa Sun, and credit to him, I think he's the first person to really mention the Capitals, that they were, you know, interested, along with the Penguins, in Shattenkirk. And, you know, you initially see that and you think, well, they're not going to do that. because literally Thursday, you know, McClellan met with reporters and said, you know, I'm just going to upgrade on the fringes. You know, I like our team. I don't want to mess with lines or D pairs. I mean, they were pretty hesitant to get someone so good that they would put someone else out. And, you know, even at the time, I remember specifically, I was writing a story about defensive depth, and I even pressed him, like, do you feel like you have another D who has, like, top four upside in case, like, Niskanen or Carlson get hurt? Because they only had two right shot D, and even, like, pressing him on that a little bit, like, do you need to go out and get another, like, good defenseman rather than a guy like Tom Gilbert who's going to play in Hershey? And he was, like, basically, you know, said no in so many words. And there was even, like, a direct quote that's something like, I think depth concerns every team. No team has 5 top 4 defensemen. Which now is what the Capitals have, essentially.
So do you think the price that the Capitals paid the first-round pick, Zach Sanford, and then a conditional pick in 2 years with, an arm's-length list of conditions, do you mm-hmm. think that was is that something that they saw the price and said, you know, we can live with that it's worth bringing in a guy like Shattenkirk? What do you think about the price the Capitals paid to bring him in?
Yeah, I don't think they paid that much. I mean, look, that first round pick is probably going to be like way down in the draft just because of how good they are. And everyone is talking about how weak a draft this is. And it's not like the Caps need, like, you know, anyone they draft probably wouldn't play for a while anyway for the Caps purposes. Then Zach Sanford, they liked him. He was starting to, you know, really kind of show some good flashes, but he also went 26 games with 2 goals and 1 assist, and I think his upside is sort of as a middle six forward.
Do you think Sanford is a guy that Blues fans should be excited about? Is that a player that can generate us? You know, I mean, is he a guy who's going to play full time in the league, or are we looking at kind of a tweener who might struggle to make a name for himself in the NHL?
Yeah, it's too soon to tell. I mean, he's coming right out of college, Boston College. They signed him this summer after 2 years there. And like I said, he's shown like really good flashes, and he's a big body. He's young. You know, he's got some skill on him. But, you know, there's also moments where, you know, he's not Jimmy Vesey either, though, as far as like guys that you sign out of college. He's not Jack Eichel, but he's a good player, and I think it's too soon to tell what he's going to turn into, but I think the Caps maybe saw enough to know, like, we can live with giving him up. This isn't going to be the Philip Forsberg trade. You know, like, they weren't giving up that guy who's going to turn into an eventual 30-goal scorer.
You are listening to 590 The Fan in St. Louis, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. We have Isabel Kershudian, who is the Capitals beat writer for the Washington Post. Isabel, when you look at the Capitals now and you look at the power play unit they can roll out with, we're looking at Shattenkirk, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Kuznetsov. Is that the first unit you would assume?
No.
Okay.
I think they're just going to flip. They had like Carlson or Niskanen on that first power play, and it never like really lived up to the Mike Green golden era of the power play, I suppose.
Right.
But it'll be they'll just put him in there for Carlson, I assume, and he'll probably be Ovechkin, Backstrom, Marcus Johansson, TJ Oshie, Shattenkirk.
So then when you have that power play unit, I mean, that is a formidable unit that I think is going to challenge a lot of teams around the league. What do you see now as the Capitals' main Achilles heel as they kind of progress through the Eastern Conference playoffs and try to finally break through?
Yeah, I have no idea if there is anything anymore.
That's good.
I mean, I thought it was, I thought like defensive depth was a real kind of question mark, that if you had Matt Niskanen or John Carlson, who at the time were their only two red shot D, if either of those guys got hurt, then you didn't have, like, really another red shot D on the roster. The next one was Tom Gilbert, who, like, who knew what that was going to turn out like. And you have potentially Taylor Twarney playing, like, major minutes in a playoff game, which isn't ideal. This is...
Former Blue Taylor Twarney.
Yeah, Taylor Twarney's a great guy. But this really solidifies them in that sense, right? Like, they might have Kevin Shattenkirk playing on their third pair, because I don't think he's going to... I mean, I don't know. They balance all the minutes out anyway. But rather than going, like, heavy in the playoffs on your top two pairs, they're going to be able to really do, like, a three-pair thing. And I think they were really nervous about their third pair in the postseason last year, as far as how they handled themselves. And those guys were young at the time. But this year, they're going to be able to really balance those minutes in the postseason. But... yeah, I mean, if they have a weakness, it might just be, like, how does this affect the chemistry? And that's something the Caps were nervous about as far as if they were going to make a big move. You know, now you potentially have a guy like Nate Schmidt out of the lineup for Shattenkirk, and he's a really popular guy in the room. Does that make some waves or whatever? You just never know how these things are going to work out, because players take time to adjust the system and a new situation and everything else, but I think, you know, on paper, this should make them a lot better.
What do you think about the idea? You know, and I think a lot of hockey fans outside of Washington, you know, you talk about Washington as a cup contender, and I think the first thing people are going to say is, well, are they going to just get over that mental hump of being able to advance in the playoffs, face some adversity, play some tough minutes, tough games, and break through. They obviously haven't done that. Do you think, I mean, it seems like the pressure is really going to be on. They've made this acquisition. They're obviously going for it. They're at the top of the standings. It's all there. Do you think there is something to the pressure of being a front runner and not being able to do it in past seasons?
Maybe, but I think they've been living with that pressure for, I don't know, since 2009, 2010, when they won the President's Trophy and lost the first round. I mean, I think it's been a while. I mean, I think Ovechkin's dealt with it his entire career. And so I don't think that's anything new for them. I don't think there would be any different pressure for them if they were going to be the 8 seed than if they're going to be the number 1 seed. So for them, it's just, I think the pressure more is like that there's this rep that they can't do it or that they won't do it or whatever. I think things just kind of have to come together. And, you know, sometimes it's a bounce, like one goal, you know, doesn't go in because it hits the crossbar and then you score the other way and you end up winning that game. And maybe that changes the series. I mean, it seems to happen for other teams when you look at their cup run and how did they do it and what kind of set, you know, kind of gave them momentum to go forward.
Right. Well, yeah, thank
you. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, I was going to say we were kind of coming up short on time. I was going to go ahead and let you go. But I wanted to tell you, thank you so much for getting up early. I know that after a long night last night covering a trade and then an early morning this morning, It's rough this time of year. It's the silly season for hockey writers, so we are incredibly appreciative for having you on this morning. So, Isabel, thank you so much.
All right, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
All right, this is Game Time AM. I'm Brad, that's Jeff. Matt, we've just got a few minutes to kind of close the show. You know, yesterday I forgot to do the three stars of the show again. It seems like I remember to do it every other day. So, Matt, who do you think would be the third star of the show here this morning? You got a third star?
Third star. Fake Pat?
Fake Pat.
Fake yeah. Pat.
That's not bad. I think probably the real Pat might be star two.
My three stars were going to be Fake Pat, Isabel is the second star, and Real Pat was the first star.
Real Pat the first star.
There you go.
I can go with that.
Sounds
right.
Good.
We'll hand those accolades out. You know what we should also do? We should have like the hard hat award.
if we really wanted to be hacky hockey radio.
The hard hat award is gonna go to Zach Sanford. Get that. Hold on.
Oh, he rang there the hot go. Take bell. Let's get in the hot take bell warmed up for TMA coming up live here
at
the top of the hour.
I spotted the sea monster walking in this morning carrying a brand new hot take bell in a box.
Wow.
So he might be expecting some really hot takes this morning.
Yeah, there might be some butthurt Blues fans listening. So, it's what happens. You know, you got a guy that can't afford because of some other contracts and the GM paints himself into a corner and this is the end result. And like Hockey Bob said, he totally predicted this. I mean, I think everybody predicted that he'd be traded. I think we're hopeful that it was a little bit higher return. And, you know, like Isabel said, the price the Capitals paid to acquire Shattenkirk, that wasn't that high. So that was kind of disheartening to hear from the other side's perspective. Like, oh, the guys are sending the other way in the picks? Yeah, that's really not that big a deal.
I'm curious how the offers went. Like, what did Washington start out with compared to what Armstrong ended up accepting?
Yeah.
I wonder how much negotiation there was.
I bet there wasn't much.
My guess would be there was negotiation in the player because Galiev is a guy they've been trying to get rid of. So my guess is that it was a very similar pick package with Galiev instead of Sanford. That would be my somewhat.
Or the trade was done like a week ago and they spent all this time figuring out all the conditions.
That's possible. Or they were sort of floating
and
around.
And he was dangling offers to Pittsburgh
right.
And maybe other
because,
teams.
Because the question, again, why do it yesterday and not wait until Wednesday?
How is that price too high for Pittsburgh?
Well, because Pittsburgh doesn't probably have a similar... Because for Pittsburgh, a similar forward is going to be a Jake Guentzel or a Daniel Sprong, who are better players than Sanford, but they don't have anybody that sort of is in that layer below, right? So the price is too high for Pittsburgh because you're asking for a different player.
Would Sprong and a first round from Pittsburgh have been better, you think?
Probably.
I think I like that name better. I think I like Sprong better.
It's certainly a more fun name.
Get Sprong.
You get some good sound effects going with it. Yeah, that probably is a better package. But you know, look, who knows if that was ever on the table? And again, Pittsburgh says the package was too high. That's probably why the players were too much.
All right, before we wrap, give me a prediction for tonight. Blues hosting the Edmonton Oilers tonight, 7:10 Scott Trade Center. Matt, what do you think happens tonight?
Ooh, man, I don't know. Could go either way, I guess. I really think it is all going to depend on how the players react to this. Could get ugly.
I think it could get ugly.
Okay. I am not optimistic.
Yeah.
I think tonight's...
I think the one time I hold back on my negativity, they're
gonna
you guys pile
there are
going to
be some
bit.
Cranky Blues fans all day, and the game's going to come tonight, and
here's the thing. Doug Armstrong a year ago said, how could I trade David Backes and give up on the guys in this locker room who have tried so hard all season? Well, he just did that when trading Kevin Shattenkirk, so...
I did real
no
quick,
plan, man.
Real
no
quick
plan.
Before we wrap, I wanted to send out an apology. Our buddy Cucky the Dwarf, Cucky texted in and said, "My name is Pat. Should I call in too?" So Cucky, we're very sorry.
Hi, Cucky.
Cucky, wake up tomorrow and call in.
Yeah, you can call on in, Pat.
As you,
Pat McGroin.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we gotta get out of here. TMA is assembling the troops to come in to take over the studio.
I think I saw Eric Messersmith. I saw Ben Fred walking around out there.
So we gotta wave the white flag and get out of here. So this has been Game Time AM. Look for us on the Twitter, @St. Louis Game Time, StLouisGameTime.com. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. That's Matt. Thanks for listening this morning to the Game Time AM on 590 The Fan.